You're very welcome back to This Week. We took our eye off the ball. These were the words of HSE CEO Bernard Gloster to the Oireachtas Health Committee this week. He was talking about insourcing, the practice where third parties or companies deliver care outside normal hours. This care is paid for by the state and in some cases is provided by HSE staff themselves. The initiative was brought in to reduce long wait times for patients. A HSE review found that 83 current or former staff are directors in 148 companies providing this care. It has now been concluded that insourcing should be phased out within a year. HSE Chief Executive Bernard Gloster joins us. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
Now, this method of delivering care has been growing for almost 20 years now. What concerns do you now have about insourcing?
So the first thing is to say that what has been growing for 20 years is the use of outsourcing, actually, with the National Treatment Purchase Fund. And that's a perfectly appropriate part of waiting list initiative to manage waiting lists and times and so on. What has happened in more recent years is that both the use of HSE initiative funding and NTPF funding is now being used for what we call insourcing. Insourcing itself, when we do it directly, such as paying staff overtime, is not a difficulty at all. But we have developed an increasing dependence on a small number of providers who essentially are companies that set up to organise healthcare professionals to come into our own sites at weekends and to do various initiatives, be it waiting list initiatives, or be it indeed, in some cases, the provision of other services. And so it's an increase in dependency in the greater scheme of what we do. It's actually relatively small, but it's an increase in dependency and it has a number of problems, including the fact that I guess it can disincentivize normal work delivery. It certainly can undermine our attempts at long-term workforce stability. It limits productivity. It certainly limits our opportunities to reform the service. And while it has done good work and many people have been served well by it, it simply is a level of dependency that has far too many limitations for us right across the health service, which we are improving and wanting to improve further.
How concerned are you about the potential for abuse, misuse, or even fraud?
Well, look, the first thing I want to say is that the majority of people who participate in an insourcing initiative or indeed provision of outsourcing services, they are good, honest, honourable people doing what they have been asked to do. There is absolutely no doubt that third-party insourcing can create significant conflict of interest because of the nature of the work and people involved in it. It can seriously undermine basic compliance with procurement regulations and so on. And unfortunately, in a very small number of instances, there have been indications of concern as to whether or not it's being used for what it's intended. And that misuse obviously leads to a significant issue of public confidence. But leaving that aside, I wouldn't want that to be the full substance of the story. The main issue for us, Carl, is we've developed a dependency on something which, if we continue to use it, it simply is a disincentive for the other types of reform we're now introducing, like 5/7 working for our workforce, like the public-only contract being distributed beyond the traditional 5 days a week. And so a third-party insourcing is a limiting factor to that because the same staff are generally involved in third-party insourcing as would be involved in those reforms.
And yet it was brought in as an initiative to reduce wait times for those long waiters, and it has done that. So why not just tighten the oversight of this to make sure that they're can't be those conflicts of interest? Is that even possible?
So firstly, there hasn't been any final decisions made yet. The Minister asked for a report on this, which I provided to her last Monday. And to be fair to her, she published it given the scale of commentary and public interest associated with this. She did so within 24 hours of receiving the report. She has committed to coming back to the Oireachtas Health Committee by the end of July with a final set of decisions and actions in terms of reducing our dependency on third-party insourcing, and then also hopefully arriving at a point where it's hardly needed at all.
Yet your strong recommendation is that it be ended. So there is a likelihood there that she will take that
is.
On board.
Can I say, you mean to address your question, firstly, we have reduced long waiters. We've had the most successful reduction of long waiters in 2023 and 2024. We now have almost 35% of people on the standard waiting lists who are inside the slow into care time frame. We believe with the workforce changes we now have, both the growth in the workforce and the change in the staffing of the health service, being able to work 5/7 along with the public only contract, we can make substantial inroads into it. We're talking about, on a standard month, Carol, within our normal work, we would do about 489 instances of care across these three main lists. And in the case of third party insourcing, only about 18,000 or 19,000 are done on that. That's about a 4% issue.
Right.
I would certainly be able to list 10 items that we are doing and can do that should reasonably be able to accommodate the majority of that 4% issue. I wouldn't have any concern. The fundamental problem is, as I say, yes, people have benefited from this, and it's important to recognise the good work that is done.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stop it today because the minister's certainly is very clear we're not going to harm patients or add to their waiting times.
Well, that is the question. If you were to stop it quite quickly, would that push wait times back up?
Well, I did tell the Oireachtas Health Committee this week that I wouldn't countenance recommending that to the Minister, and that's why I've recommended a much longer time frame with additional controls and oversight in the intervening period to reduce the potential for conflict of interest and other unintended consequences. I think that can be done, but the fundamental issue, and there's no getting away from this, if you have third-party insourcing as opposed to ordinary insourcing, you are paying a higher premium. And if people are being paid a higher premium, they're being incentivised to remain with that.
And you've said that yourself, that certain staff spotted an opportunity. Do you feel then that that's inappropriate?
Well, look, as I say, the establishment of a company or the holding of a company directorship or working in a private capacity, none of those things are illegal or in any way problematic in that sense. The simple reality is, while it brings some benefit, it brings a level of perverse incentive that just would not be sustainable.
As we've heard, three hospitals are being audited over concerns about the use of these waiting list funds. What can you tell us about those audits?
So the three hospitals have already been well named, I think, in the public domain. There's the CHI issue, which arose off the back of the 2022 report that I think has been well commented on at this stage. There was an issue at Beaumont Hospital resulting from a complaint or protected disclosure. And then another issue at Nace Hospital. They all have different characteristics to the nature of the concerns that were being expressed in them. Because I hadn't completed the survey of the whole country's dependency and assessed the level involved, it was better to deploy internal audit to look at those. I have to wait for those audit reports to see whether or not the nature of the complaints have any substance. But in any event, we couldn't equally continue. And this is what I said, in the very small margins, those small margins create huge public confidence questions. And we couldn't continue to drip, drip, drip complaint and then deploy internal audit to every one of our potentially 40-odd hospitals around the country. So the purpose of this report, which I've given the Minister, and the purpose of her consideration now with her officials, is to come to a sensible set of actions aimed at continuing to improve waiting list management and at the same time reducing this type of risk.
And if we just go back to where we started, this review has focused on insourcing, but most of the 1 billion National Treatment Purchase Fund money actually goes to outsourcing, as you said, 740 million. Are you confident that this larger money is being used appropriately?
Yeah, and again, and I did say in the report, and I appreciate it's a very technical report, not all of that 740 million has been used for waiting list initiatives. There are other outsourcing things we do, like buying private ambulance capacity, buying short-term beds in nursing homes.
Is the oversight that was perhaps lacking here, do you think that
oversight,
it's present?
Oversight, corporate governance and avoidance of conflict of interest is much easier in an outsourced arrangement than it is in a third-party insourced arrangement. That's just a simple fact of the matter. There's no getting away from that.
You referred the CHI internal report to Gardaí. Do you know what is the Gardaí involvement in this matter right now?
I genuinely, it wouldn't be fair of me to in any way move into the Gardaí and their operational space and considerations. What I can say is I made it clear when I heard about this report that there were fundamental concerns of a different nature to what we've just spoken about. There were issues in relation to the individual care of people and how they were or were not allegedly managed on waiting lists. That report was considered by my regional chief for Dublin and Midlands, and she considered and advised me that it did meet the threshold for referral to the Gardaí, and I approved that referral, which has been made, and there's ongoing discussions with the Gardaí around the type of detail that they would need to help them consider that further, and that's where it stands, and it will stand there until such time as the Gardaí dispose of that matter.
Are you confident, Bernard Gloster, that CHI is the right entity to manage the €2 billion children's hospital that we're hoping will be world class?
Yeah, so I was asked this question at the Oireachtas Committee earlier this week, and I think I was unequivocal, or at least I hope I was. Firstly, I have every confidence in the new CEO of CHI, Lucy Nugent, and in fact, I was had a part to play in her appointment to there. She's a very experienced and competent chief executive. I was very encouraged by and take great confidence from the new additions to the board that the minister has and continues to make. And board refresh in any entity is always good. But I did say, despite those two very strong factors, I did say this week that there is no doubt that it is an entity that faces a scale of challenge and a scale of, at this stage, historical issues and culture issues and organisational issues, that there has to be some concern as to whether or not that's the right vehicle for the future. That doesn't affect the provision of the service today. It doesn't affect the very good work that's being done there in hundreds of thousands of instances every year. It doesn't affect the fact that there's an extremely positive and good, strong workforce in CHI, and we have to stay focused on commissioning the hospital. But there is no doubt whether that entity is the best vehicle or not to deliver children's health into the future once we've commissioned the new hospital. Well, that's fundamentally is a matter for government. But I have said that I believe it is an entity that's quite challenged at the moment.
And just before I let you go, you have spoken of assessment of needs and said that the system is broken. More children with disabilities are waiting for assessments. You're being very frank about the problem, but what can be done?
So there are a couple of different things. Firstly, there is the obvious, which is adding to our own workforce to tackle the assessment list, using also private capacity to support that where we can, predominantly that being in the clinical space. There isn't a lot of that additional capacity. I met young Cara Darmody for the second time last week, and she believes there's more work can be done in that space, and certainly happy to look at that. And I know the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste are leading the Cabinet Committee on Disability are very supportive of that. I'll be at that Cabinet Committee tomorrow. But there is a need also for legislative reform. There is no doubt that the legislation has not kept pace with either the type of practice or need that we have. And I believe there's a very strong and coherent plan to approach that this year.
Okay, we leave it there for today. Bernard Gloster, thank you very much for joining us on This Week.